Blog Talk Radio.
You know what time it is? You know what time it is? It's been a minute. Let's have some fun. Uh-oh. Let's crank it up. My time is now. The time is now. And, wow, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. But yours truly, we are back talking sports with the 12th man. We appreciate everybody's patience. But we had a special show on Thursday night. So, of course, welcome. Talking sports with 12th man. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host Rob Ford, able to join us as well. Andre's checking in from Hawaii. Aloha. We always make jokes about it, but I'm actually here. Special Pro Bowl.
He's rubbing it in on us, America. He's rubbing it in on us. I tell you that.
No, I'm just here to kind of reporting, man. I flew in and had some saw some NFL players, man. I'll tell you about that a little later on. But check in with Mr. Rob.
He got the assignment to do the Pro Bowl, and I got the assignment to cover University of New Orleans basketball. Is that fair, America?
You know, I don't know how that played out, man. I'm still hoping you were trying to do some stuff for the Senior Bowl, man. So, but, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
We'll let that slide. But anyway, of course.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to take the little short drive and cover the Senior Bowl for 12-man sports since it's a little bit closer to me.
There you go. How you doing, sir? You doing all right?
Absolutely. Ready to get this party started.
Let's have some fun, man. So, as always, you know how the drill works. I'm not trying to rub it in. As always, I'll get you guys some pictures. I know we always, like I said, joke about what time we're here in Hawaii, but yeah, it's actually 6 o'clock p.m. It's 10 Central and 11 p.m. Eastern out there, too, so that's what it's all about. But as always, if you want to check in, call the show. We're going to throw out some numbers, as always, 424-243-9519. That is the number to call the show if you ever wanted to give us some thoughts about some topics that we're going to discuss tonight. As well, you know that we're also available via Twitter. Follow us via at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And also we're on Facebook, so don't forget to check us out in that aspect. If you go to Talking Sports 12 Men, or if you put 12 Men Sports in there, you will be able to find our page for a lot of information. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in, man. It's been a minute since we have talked. I know we got to talk about the Super Bowl and a couple of predictions. And if you've been following the show, I know me and Robert have been going back and forth with our picks. And I think both of us, Rob, I think we sort of picked the same teams to kind of make it here. So it's actually surprising that two teams that were not wild cards, but they were actually both number one seeds, they made it to the Super Bowl. So obviously the Seahawks and the Broncos, Robert, I want to get your thoughts about that. I think we actually picked these teams to actually make it too, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both number one seeds. I mean, this is the first time this happened since 2009 when the Saints and the Colts made it to the Super Bowl. And both number one seeds made it to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it is what it is. These were definitely the two best teams in their respective conferences all season long, and they made it to the playoffs and made it to the Super Bowl. I think, you know, when you're looking at this, you're looking at probably the top offense in the league in the Broncos, top defense in the league in
top
Seattle.
Defense.
Very intriguing game. You know, what we're going to be looking at here. I think we got a great matchup. I think if you're a true football fan, you couldn't ask for anything better far as in the matchups and things of that nature. I personally think Denver is going to win in a close one. I'm thinking 24-23, 24-20, somewhere along those lines. I think it's going to be a close game. But I think Denver will pull it out in a close ball game, which is my personal opinion.
Yeah, that's a great point, Rob, and just kind of following on that same path. Yeah, the number one seed, like you mentioned, number one defense for the Seahawks, and then you have the number one offense for the Broncos. There's a couple of things that, you know, why I agree with you. I think it may be a close game. Denver's going to pull it out. You got to worry about the inexperience of Russell Wilson at this time, if that's going to come into play. I'm sure everyone's going to talk about that. Typically, you definitely want to side with the team that's going to run the ball a little bit more. Obviously, the way that Seattle's been playing beast mode has been fantastic. You know, I think that's going to definitely play a part. And I think Denver's going to probably try to shut them down and make Russell Wilson beat them. That's what I would do, honestly. But you know, it's going to be a great matchup. You know, both teams have, you know, great things. But like you said, I think Peyton's going to play well. He's been there a couple times. He's going to know how to get through that distraction. But, you know, this is kind of what you signed up for if you're a big-time football fan, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the balance of the Broncos offense, too. I mean, I think Peyton Manning has been doing a masterful job, you know, of controlling the line of scrimmage with his counts and things of that nature, all of them at the line of scrimmage from pass to
Omaha,
run to run
Omaha,
the pass.
Omaha.
Yeah, I think he's been doing a masterful job. And, you know, he's, you know, throughout this playoffs, throughout this season, you know, I think he's been doing a tremendous job. You look at No'Shawn Marino and Monte Ball. They have great balance. You're looking at the numbers that they're putting up in the passing game, but they really have been very effective in the running game all season long, too.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. And, you know, I thought a couple of weeks ago, I thought the Saints were able to run the ball on Seattle pretty effectively. They just had too many other miscues that cost them the game. And even San Francisco had some success. Even though Seattle's defense, you know, tightened up when they needed to tighten up. But, you know, I think these last two opponents have proven that you can run the ball a little bit on Seattle. And the thing you want to stay out of in Seattle, you don't want to fall behind against that team because their pass rush is ferocious. So you definitely want to try to get out on the lead. And San Fran was able to do that. They were able to get out to a 10-0 lead. But Seattle bounced back and got back in the game and ultimately won the game. But I think if you're the Broncos, you don't want to get into a situation where you're passing every down against the Seattle defense. Are they going to tee off on Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I think that's a great, great observation, sir, because, you know, that is definitely one of their strengths is their pass defense, too. And you know, obviously last week everyone was talking about Richard Sherman. We may touch base on that just a little bit. I know we're kind of beating that to a thing, but, yeah, I couldn't have said it a little bit better. If you run the ball against him, kind of play keep away a little bit, Peyton will have his opportunities to take advantage of making smart things. You know, maybe you're going to get a better matchup, maybe if you kind of go four wide or three wide or something like that too. So, but like you said, it's going to be a great game. I agree with you. I think it's going to be close with Denver pulling it out. So you heard it here. That is the 12th man sport prediction as far as the game, Rob. Unless you have anything else to add, we'll move on to our next topic, sir. Good deal. All right, let's make some moves here. Let's talk about, this is interesting, about the NFL. And should we consider medicinal marijuana? What do you think about that, sir?
Medical marijuana.
I love it. I had to make sure I said that correctly. I apologize. Medical marijuana. What are your thoughts and how does this, why is it even on the table, sir?
Well, I think, you know, the NFL has really been heavily involved in studies about how they can solve their concussion issues. And right now, you know, with the game, the speed of the game and players getting concussions left and right, unfortunately. And so now some new studies are coming out that medical marijuana can actually help with concussions and, you know, as far as healing and things of that nature. And so now Roger Goodell is in the process of possibly considering it, you know, for removing it as a banned substance for NFL players, which is incredible. I mean, you would have never thought the day would come where, you know, a sports league will consider, you know, making, you know, removing medical marijuana as a banned substance. So I think it's interesting. I'm not sure if I agree or disagree with removing it as a banned substance just yet. I am in favor of doing whatever you can, you know, as far as the health of the players. And so I guess, you know, if this is something that's going to be helpful, then I think you definitely need to, you know, weigh all your options and things of that nature as well. And so it's going to be interesting. You know, like I said, I'm definitely in favor for the health of the players and trying to see what you can do to make it better. And because you don't want these guys to have brain trouble as they get older with all of these concussions and things of that nature. So the league is, you know, strongly removing it as a banned substance, which kind of came out as a surprise.
On a separate issue, there is a report that the players that were testing this medical marijuana, they actually forgot they had concussions, so everything happened, everything worked out perfectly. So anyway, moving right along. That was a joke, America. I don't think Rob got that. But that's okay. Yeah. They were in the studies. They'd forgotten that they had concussions after smoking medical marijuana. Anyway, we'll talk about that. I was just going to say, this is kind of me and my little soapbox here, in that whenever I was looking at a lot of the changes that we're hearing, you know, the extra point thing, I mean, Roger McGill is trying to change a couple of different things, too. I do want to say, back in the day, we always talked about how the game has changed, because you remember, Rob, they used to have head slaps and whatnot, certain things that were legal, these vicious hits, you know, from the Mel Blancs and the Ronnie Lotts and whatnot. And I think because of the fact that's what's happening to those players now, I think that's why certain things have been removed. That's why we don't do the head slap, because maybe they figured out that a couple of years down the road the head slap was actually causing concussions or something like that. And maybe Roger's trying to prevent another lawsuit, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, because if we have, you know, these certain hits and stuff like that are so violent, maybe he's trying to protect players for the future. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of Roger Goodell, just like you are. We know Robert's not a fan of Roger Goodell. But I'm kind of thinking that that's what's happening. We're kind of taking a peek into the future, because if you would imagine, I know we talk about how the game is different, Rob. I mean, seriously, because before, you know, defensive players, they could head slap somebody, they can chop block, they can do things now. And the game has evolved. Players are getting bigger, faster, stronger. We all know that. And I think because that's why he's trying to, like, reduce the blows, because it's kind of like if you look at the past, if you don't, you know, just then it'll mess up for the future. So I'm thinking, he's like, okay, if we reduce these crazy hits, maybe we won't have as many concussions as players exit the league, like what happened to players before. So, you know, that's kind of me on my soapbox as far as thinking about whenever we think about these type of things and this thing for medicinal or for medical marijuana. Excuse me, I gotta say it correctly. But you know, maybe that's why we're trying to prevent things from happening in the future as well too. So, you know, that's just my little sidebar note on that particular topic, if you will. So it's very, very interesting, to say the least.
Absolutely. I know it's a great point.
Yeah, there's something to think about. I know we were kind of skipping back. I wanted to kind of throw it in there too, but let's kind of talk about still. I'm very excited because I should have posted this too, and we'll have to get back to this too as far as your first mock draft and other things too. But let's talk about weather in the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's going to be played at MetLife Stadium, an outdoor cold situation in New York. I think they're talking about it's going to be below something crazy, like 20 degrees or something crazy like that. MetLife is a pretty windy stadium. I've heard that Eli Manning has kind of reached out to Peyton as far as some tips. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, Rob, I'm kind of 50-50, Rob, in that I think that it's cool to have a weather element, but sometimes I don't want that to be a crutch. I don't want to say, well, because it wasn't, you know, windy or it wasn't icy, you know. And there's certain things that make for, you know, certain great moments for games, but sometimes I want it to be on a neutral field, you know, nice, clean, beautiful day, and just kind of make it and just kind of play the game football too. So I kind of want to hear your thoughts about that. I do think it'll play a small factor, but I'd like it to be kind of neutral, and just, I don't want that to be the main reason why, you know, why the game is going to be affected or impacted, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're really looking at it, you know, both of these teams are coming from fairly cold weather cities. You know, obviously Denver gets a lot colder than Seattle. And based on the, I know we're still about 10, 11 days out from the Super Bowl, but based on the early forecast, we're looking at about a high of 32 and about a low of 19 in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So if that holds up, we're definitely going to have a cold Super Bowl. Doesn't look like mm-hmm. we're going to have any precipitation, so it don't look like we're having any rain or snow or anything to go along with that. Look like it's mm-hmm. just going to be cold, you know.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a fire. I think wind is your concern. I don't think, you know, you talk to anybody in the NFL. Cold teams can handle is if you have a strong wind. It could be cold with no wind, and I think teams are going to handle it very well. If it's cold and got a strong wind, that's when you got to make a lot of adjustments in the kicking game and the passing game. And,
gotcha.
And so you have to weigh that out. You know, I think if you have a strong win, I think the game might slight your favor towards Seattle. So I think the game, you know, weather could play a factor. So I think win is going to be the issue. Like I said, Seattle, maybe the temps don't get this cold in Seattle, but I think they're still a fairly cold weather city. But I think wind is going to be could be a deciding factor in this game. And so, you know, I'm hoping that you get a game where temps, the wind is kind of calm. And, you know, I already know it's going to be cold, but you don't want wind to be that big of a factor in the game. As well as precipitation. So hopefully that holds up.
Yeah, the only thing I worry about wind, Rob, is for the kicking game, I would imagine, because that's never something, you know, if you're worried about certain passes. But I agree with you. It's going to be we'll see how that plays out, if that's going to affect the kickers or vice versa for sure, too. Sometimes it may come down to that last-minute kick, too. So who knows? That's why we watch the game, because it's very, very unpredictable. Right, sir?
Absolutely.
All right. We got about 15 minutes in the show, so I always want to throw out the number just in case anyone wants to call in and kind of give us your thoughts and share. The number to call into the show, we've got it as always, 424-243-9519. We are moving right along, and I guess let's talk about some hires. And I know we haven't been able to you know, conduct the show for a couple weeks here, just because of our schedules have been a little crazy. But the Browns have actually made a decision. Mike Pettine is going to be the new head coach. He actually is a Rex Ryan disciple, of what we're hearing word on the street is, Rob. And I guess if you're the Browns, if you're a Browns fan, unfortunately, I'm not sure if this was the right guy. They're probably thinking, who is this guy? It's not really a splash hire, I would say, from what I'm hearing. But like,
not a household name.
Bad thing. Yeah, not that it's not a good thing, but it just probably wasn't the name that they were expecting. So it could be good because, you know, we had the same thing with Mike Smith. He's a little-known defensive coordinator. We actually trying to be a pretty good coach for us. And, you know, Sean Payton, was same thing, just, you know, another guy, if you were. And they actually trying to be very, very great hires for both organizations. But, you know, I guess the world of truth is that it's not really – it's like a okay type of reaction. So what are you hearing, sir, about this particular move for the Browns?
Well, I mean, when you look at it, the resume is not bad. I mean, he's a Rex Ryan disciple. He's a defensive coordinator for Rex and with the Jets for 4 years, and we all know that they've had some pretty good defenses over the years under Rex Ryan. But obviously with Rex Ryan having a defense background, he's got most of that credit for that defense over Mike. Is it Pettine?
Yeah, I think it's Mike Pettine is what I've heard,
Yeah, Mike Pettine, See, he's not even a household name. We barely know him. But looking over his resume here, defensive coordinator, he's a Rex Ryan disciple. Did a fairly decent job with the Buffalo defense this past season. So somewhat of a surprise. I was shocked and, you know, at the hire after first hearing it. But after looking over his resume, I think, you know, the Browns may have got them a solid hire here. Looked like he's definitely going to be a strong guy as far as on the defensive side of the ball. He wants to run the football and have a ball control offense. And so it should be interesting. And you're talking about the Cleveland Browns. I mean, as of right now, I have them taking Johnny Manziel in the first round at the number 4 pick. So if anything else you're going to add, if you're able to get a player like that, I think Johnny Manziel is either boom or bust. Think he's going to be great. I think he's either going to be really great or he's going to be poor. I don't think there's any in between with them. But one thing he will do is add a great buzz to that organization. There's no doubt about that if they're able to get a guy like Manziel.
Yeah, this is the thing, too. I think that it is very interesting because I think who they hire for their offensive coordinator, Rob, is going to be very, very big because that's going to put a stamp on that organization because, you know, like you said, it's – who that offensive coordinator is, then he's going to pick. Is it going to be Manziel or is it going to be somebody else? Are they going to go more of a veteran route? I mean, what's going to happen with that particular pick is kind of what you're thinking about now, too. So I can't wait to see the mock draft. I want to talk about that, obviously, because this definitely kind of shook up what's going to happen with that. Because right now, if you believe Mel Kiper, he's thinking that Manziel could go number one, but you never know, but I think that city needs something, Rob. They need, a player to kind of galvanize that to organization. Because if you're a Cleveland fan, I'm sure you're probably thinking, "What?" It feels like once again we've been kind of given the shaft, if you will. So that's just my opinion. I mean, like I said, it could be a great hire, but right now it's just they have to make the right couple of moves. I'm sure the organization it looks kind of like they have A on their face because I'm not really sure why. They fired Chudzinski before, but we'll see how everything plays out in the end, sir.
Yeah, they fired Rob Trzynski after 1 year. I mean, he didn't even give the guy a chance. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just that's why you're probably not sure what the future. And you hope that, like you said, there's a couple organizations that, you know, they've only had three head coaches. You know, like I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So there's something to say for allowing that guy to come in there, kind of put a stamp on the organization. And clearly, we'll see how that plays out for sure. So that's just me. My little two cents on the situation, but I think we kind of have an incomplete right now for looking at grading, sir. I don't know. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, like I said, at first glance, I didn't think it was a great hire, but I think after looking over the resume, I think it was a decent hire. I don't know. He just didn't have, like I said, when you're the defense coordinator under Rob Ryan was getting more credit for that defense. But obviously he played a role in it as well. And so you got to give him a little credit. And so I think it's a decent hire. I wouldn't say it's a great hire. So I guess it B- C+ is what I'll give the hire.
Gotcha. I love it. All right, at this time we got about 9 minutes left, sir. I'm going to kind of give you the option because I do want to spend a lot of time talking about the mock draft. We can talk real briefly, and we can talk mock draft definitely going into the OT portion of the show, and also keep it going for next week, too, because I know we're going to have Senior Bowl stuff to recap. We can talk about some NBA real quick and get that in there, kind of spend the rest of the time talking about the mock draft. I'm going to leave it on you, Mr. Rob.
Yeah, we can get right into the draft and kind of close out with a little NBA All-Star coverage. That'll be fine.
Cool. All right. So let's jump right in. I know we got like a lot of first-time All-Stars for the NBA, but let's jump into the mock draft and I will try to post this for sure. I always like to do that because we know things change and every team is throwing smoke screens and whatever. I do have to make a comment, Rob, that 98 juniors have actually declared for the draft. This has been the most, I want to say, right now. And I think the reason because they want to get in there early for the collective bargaining agreement, the CBA, to kind of get their paycheck early. So there's going to be a lot of great players, Rob. This is actually going to be a deep, deep draft. Let's kind of talk about your assessments here right now. So obviously we're going to go kind of top here. We got Houston Texans are picking first. Obviously they had a new hire in Bill O'Brien. You've got them taking Teddy Bridgewater, the quarterback from Louisville. Kind of explain why you have them picking this, or why you have them making this pick, sir.
Well, obviously the Texas fan base and I believe the Texas organization is ready to move on from Matt Schaub. So it's going to be interesting what happens with him as far as them trading him or keeping him or what have you. But I do think Bill O'Brien wants to start fresh with his own QB and develop him. When you look at Teddy Bridgewater, he's mobile in the pocket. He's got good feet. He's very accurate with the football. Doesn't have the arm strength that a lot of people maybe would like, but he does so many other things well with the football. He takes care of the football. He doesn't turn the football over either. And I think you're looking at a guy who can manage the game really well as have tremendous athletic ability. So, you know, with those combinations, it's going to be hard to find a better quarterback. I think the one downside to Johnny Manziel is that he can be out of control. And when you look at Teddy Bridgewater, he's always composed. He's always in control of the situation. And his composed pocket passer as well as can move with his feet. And and I think that's the one area he doesn't turn the ball over as much as Johnny Manziel does. And I think that would be the separation there, in my opinion. We talked about Manziel going to Cleveland at 4. I know there's a extreme interest in Manziel from the fan base down in Houston. You know, they would like to keep Manziel at home in their backyard, and they think that will create an extreme buzz there in Houston if they're able to. So I think the fan base is kind of calling for Manziel, but I think in the end the coaching staff is going to make the better decision to go with Bridgewater.
I'm actually, I think Teddy's going to be a good quarterback. Another guy that I think, Rob, this is kind of just out of left field, I think Blake Bortles may get a real hard look from Houston too. I know Bill O'Brien kind of saw how he played versus Penn State, looks the part. This may be a tough decision, too, so I'm kind of curious about that one, too. I mean, I know maybe down to three guys here, Bridgewater, Manziel, and possibly Blake Bortles kind of getting an outside pick. So Houston, they pulled a shock whenever they selected Mario Edwards back, or Mario Williams, excuse me, back in the day. They may do the same thing again, man. So I'm just kind of, that's just Andre kind of filling that out for too, because I know that he was a big fan of that. So that's, you know, that may be an interesting call too. So we'll see. That's Andre.
Well, here's the interesting thing about the quarterbacks in this draft. This is going to be a, you know, quarterback laden draft at the top. And
yes.
I think one of the things you're going to have to look at here, the quarterbacks, I think some of these quarterbacks are not necessarily top five or top ten grades, but there's so
mm-hmm.
many teams in the top of this draft that need quarterbacks. So that's going to be the real interesting thing. So a lot of these quarterbacks are going to go a little bit earlier than what the actually grades are. And you
mm-hmm.
look at Blake Bortles right now, I have him going to Jacksonville, a very QB-needy team right now. And when you look at Blake, you know, he's tall, he's in the pocket, stands tall in the pocket, get rid of the football, he's got a strong arm. I think he'll be a perfect fit for Jacksonville if they desperately need a quarterback. And right now I have him going to the number three position. So you're going to see, in my opinion, players like Jadeveon Clowney and Jake Matthews, who are really top two or three players in this draft that probably won't go into five or six, because of all the teams that need quarterback in the top five.
I like it. I like it. So this is a good move. Now, this is interesting. I've actually saw this before. You got St. Louis taking Sammy Watkins Jr., or Sammy Watkins, excuse me, the wide receiver for Clemson. You know, there's a lot of rumors that they were targeting, you know, Jake Matthews. If I'm a Falcon fan, I'm ecstatic if this happens, but why do you have them taking Sammy Watkins over, you know, Jake Matthews per se?
Well, here's the thing. They just signed Jake Long from the Rams. And I mean, not that they don't have a place for Jake Matthews. They can obviously start him off at the right tackle where he was before this, his senior year, and they move him to the left tackle. So I think you can always start him off there and build a potent line. But the Rams team, what they're still lacking is explosive players on offense. I mean, getting Tavon Austin definitely helped last year, but I think they get another weapon. And they still just a healthy quarterback away from really being a contender. And that they can somehow get Sam Bradford. And it looks like the organization wants to give Sam Bradford one more shot. And I think if it does not work out next year, I think they're going to move on and look what they can do at the quarterback position. But so I think you give him another weapon, an explosive weapon, and you get Sam Bradford healthy, and you got Sammy Watkins, and you got Tavon Austin, and you've got yourself a solid running back in Zach Stacy. But if you look at this Rams organization last 3 or 4 years, they have just not had any kind of explosiveness on offense. One of the reasons why you saw Steven Jackson leave. And right now, they can possibly hit a home run. We're getting an explosive player to their offense.
I think this is a great, great pick. If they decide to go Sammy Watkins, this offense will take off. And you hit it right on the head. If they actually do that, this is Sam Bradford's last chance, because Tavon Austin, Sammy Watkins, they add a good tight end. They got a great tight end, obviously, there. I forgot his name. His name is slipping on my mind. But, you know, they're you know, that's a key piece. So they're definitely thanking the Washington Redskins right about now. But I apologize. We got about 90 seconds left, Rob. I definitely want to talk about, keep going with the draft talk. But let's kind of set it up. For next week, I think we may have to move the show again either Thursday or Friday. I'm going to be flying on the plane leaving Hawaii. No cry from me, but I will give you some recap for the Pro Bowl. But I guess Rob set it up for next week, and we're still going to keep talking draft for the next 15 minutes or so. So that's what it's all about. So, Rob, I'll let you kind of do your thing, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly appreciate everyone for tuning in tonight. We apologize for we haven't had any kind of consistency with our show as far as times lately. And next week, you know, if it's all okay with my counterpart, I mean, Friday night will be a great night for next week. But we'll definitely keep you posted. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook so you can constantly get the updates of our show. We're going to go into our OT portion. You can catch that tomorrow, anytime throughout the day. And we got more draft coverage on our OT portion. So all of our draft nerds, we got some more information coming out here in our OT portion, so definitely tune in on tomorrow to catch that. And we're going to also probably dip on that to a little bit of the NBA All-Star starters that were announced tonight as well. So definitely stay tuned to us, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook for our constant updates of our show and sports news. Good night, America.
Good night, America. Thank you so much. We are officially into the OT portion. Rob, thank you for setting it up as always. And let's keep it moving here. I know we've got some draft nerds. I'm a draft nerd too, sir. If there's a whack, I could just sit there and absorb all the draft, I would. So that's something that we love talking about. So let's keep it moving. I think we were talking about the Rams and getting a home run hit with Sammy Watkins. They're going to be thanking the Washington Redskins for that pick all of a sudden. So I think that's a great move for them. Their defense is set. Add some more explosiveness. Sammy Watkins, it's like that key to lock. So I like that move as well. You touched base on it earlier. Blake Bortles going to Jacksonville. We all agree they're probably a couple of players away, but this is the player that they want to get to solidify that quarterback position. Chad Henne's been okay, Rob, but you think this is a guy for the future for them, without a doubt?
Absolutely, yeah. Chad Henne is not the answer long-term. He's a journeyman quarterback in the NFL. He's a backup quarterback. He should be a backup quarterback on a team that, you know, come in and help a team in a pinch. And but definitely, you know, you have to get your franchise quarterback. Jacksonville decided that last year's draft did not have that franchise quarterback, and so they went ahead and took an offensive lineman. And as we all saw last year, E.J. Manuel was the first QB taken at number 16. So there were a lot of other teams that felt like there was not a worthy quarterback in the draft last year in the top five. This year is a little bit different. Even though they may not have a top five grade, their grade might be number 7 or 8. So you can justify a little bit of that risk. To whereas E.J. Manuel last year, even though he was picked 16, his grade was probably somewhere in the 20s to 30. So, you know, a slight reach, but teams will make a slight reach for the quarterback position. But, you know, last year they didn't want to take a quarterback at the number 2 position that was probably greater than the 20s or 30.
Yeah, that's a good call for sure. And like you said, next year I think we hit the nail on the head. I mean, we're talking about the Rams giving Sam Bradford an opportunity. You got Jameis Winston coming out, sir. I'm pretty positive he'll come out. So whoever's going to be in that position, they can either wait like you talked about or decide to say, hey, this is our year for the quarterback too. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and
as we move forward too. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And next year you're looking at three guys that could be easily in the top five again from the quarterback position. You look at Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
You're looking at Marcus Mariota from Oakland.
Oregon,
and you're looking at the
kid
from Oregon. Yes, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
And you're looking at the kid from UCLA. His name is I'm drawing
Brett
a blank
Hundley,
on his name.
Brett Hundley.
Yeah, Brett Hundley. I mean, you're looking at three guys right there that could easily be top three, three of the top 5 to 7 picks in next year's draft. So you're going to have another solid quarterback draft next year as Hundley and Mariota will both be seniors next year. So they will definitely be out. Jameis Winston will be a redshirt sophomore. So I think all indications will be that he'll be coming out as well. So, yeah, you should have a strong draft at the top again for the quarterback position.
Looking good, looking good. We're having a good conversation. We should just keep talking about draft because I could talk about this for 30-plus minutes easily. Let's talk about we already know Cleveland is going to go Johnny Manziel. If you want to talk a little bit more about that pick, we already kind of beat that one to death as well. But the opportunity, same thing, get their quarterback for the future. I still think it depends on their quarterback their offensive coordinator. I'm going to kind of expound upon anything else for that one, Rob.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, right now I'm still in the early games. I mean, we're still probably about 3 months away from the draft. You know, you still have coaching changes that are going to be made on these organizations. You still have free agency. So a lot of that, you know, anybody that's followed our show over the last couple of years, I'll probably do about 5 or 6 mock drafts before we get to the real draft. So it's just kind of fun. And as coaching changes and as free agency happens, you know, I make adjustments to my mock draft.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Let's talk about the next pick here. At number 5, we have Oakland. This is a surprise. Oakland with Jadeveon Clowney going the defensive end from South Carolina. This is one of those things where it can go either way. Now, I'm a Falcons fan. I'm excited because, I may be one pick away from moving up. But, you know, I can kind of go either way. I'd be happy if I got Jake Matthews too. But you're thinking that they're going to go defensive end here. Why do you think they go here versus a quarterback, Rob?
Well, Oakland definitely needs a quarterback as well. There's no doubt about it. But I think if the draft follows this order right here, where Mangiel, Bortles, and Bridgewater are all gone by five, then I think Oakland would take the guy who they may feel is the best non-quarterback in the draft, and Jadeveon Clowney. And you got to look at their defense, their head coach, Dennis Allen, is a defensive-minded coach.
Okay.
Yeah, let's face it, Oakland needs help on a lot of areas on their football team. So this is a guy that can be a playmaker on your football team. And I always say the four most important positions in football are quarterback, left tackle, defensive end, and cornerback. You got to be strong in those areas. And Jadeveon Clowney would definitely help them in one of those areas. And in my opinion, he's probably the second highest graded player in the draft. But based on the way that, what teams need and things of that nature, you look at the Rams at the number two position. I mean, they have Robert Quinn and Chris Long already at defensive end, so they can afford to pass on a guy like Clowney and take a guy like Watson to boost their offense more. And then you look at Cleveland and you look at Jacksonville. These are two teams that desperately need quarterback play. So I think Oakland, the next quarterback on the board is Derek Carr. They can possibly trade back and get him a few picks down, or they stay here and they try to rebuild that defense with Clowney.
You said that he's the second rated player. Who do you have the first rated player in the draft, by the way?
I have Bridgewater still the number one player in the draft.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. I was just curious about that. All right, now, if I'm Atlanta, I'm ecstatic because, number one, I didn't even think I would even sniff Jake Matthews here. So we get the left tackle for the future. I know you don't really care about that, Rob, but as a Falcon fan, I can kind of expound upon this. Now, the question that I have about Jake Matthews is that I really didn't think we were going to have a shot. I was looking more at the Greg Robinson from Auburn as probably a lucky opportunity. But we still have free agency to go. And word of the street is that sometimes it's tough for a young player to come in as a rookie and even excel at the left tackle position. I know there's some exceptions to the rule. Luke Jokel struggled. Eric Fisher got hurt the last year's number one player. Is there, if we're a Falcon fan, is there kind of hope at this position at Jake Matthews? I know he's a plug-and-play player. He may struggle, but what do you think about his projections as coming into the league and being the starter right now, if you will?
Well, I think he's a day-one starter. There's no doubt about it. Now, is he a Pro Bowler day-one? Maybe not. But I think he'll be a solid starter, even as a rookie, that has Pro Bowl potential. He has the potential to be that kind of player. Now, I have him as the third highest rated player in this draft. But once again, we talk about teams need and teams needing quarterbacks and things of that nature. So, as I mentioned, Oakland can get lucky with Clowney. I think Atlanta can get lucky with Matthews getting the third highest rated player at the number six position here because of teams that need quarterbacks. And then when you look at Jake Matthews versus Greg Robinson, they're both going to be solid pros, good tackles in the league. But here's the difference between the two. I think when you look at the Falcons team, right now they're a pass first team, run second team. And right now Jake Matthews is the better pass protector than Greg Robinson. Well, Greg Robinson is more of a road grader, better run blocker than Matthews. So I think if you're looking at it from the Falcons standpoint, Matthews is probably a better fit for what they want to do offensively. Not that Matthews is not a good run blocker. It's just that Robinson is a little bit better run blocker, whereas Matthews is more sound technician when it comes to the passing game and pass blocking. And so it's a little bit better fit there, I think, if you're looking at it, if you want to protect your $100 million quarterback in Matt Ryan.
Good call, too, because like I said, I think, you know, the question is, and you got them, Greg Robinson, going right after the Falcons pick with Tampa Bay. Is he a better right tackle, Rob? You think Greg Robinson could be a left tackle? Because like you said, you normally have your right tackle as your better run blocker, typically. Dominating run blocker. Can he move to the left side, or do you think he's going to be right tackle? I think he's a great – I think you can't go wrong either with either player, personally. But like you said, I'll let you say
better
pass blocker. But yeah, go ahead.
You know, a lot of teams, not all, some teams, they'll start their prize tackles off at right in their rookie year, then their second year moving to left tackle. That could very well happen with both of these players. So we have to wait and see what kind of the team needs are and things of that nature and you know, kind of go from there. You could possibly see both of these players start off on the right, but they're both eventually – going to be left tackles for years to come.
Gotcha. Good deal. Good analysis. Let's keep moving here. Number eight, you've got Minnesota drafting Derek Carr, the quarterback from Fresno State. You know, we talk about this. The Vikings still have not quite figured out the quarterback position. Not sure what's going to happen, sir, with Josh Freeman. He may not be the answer. I think it was kind of unfair for him to kind of jump in and try to murder that offense. Maybe that's why Leslie Frazier got fired. They got a new coach. Same thing, Rob, with Cleveland offensive coordinator kind of making a pick. Derek Carr, what do you think? He really played that well in the bowl game. What do you think about his prospects? Can he help solidify that? And what's going to happen with Josh Freeman, too? So if you're the Vikings about this, sir.
Well, I think Josh Freeman is going to be back as far as being a free agent. And, you know, you're going to see a team that's going to pick him up and is going to, you know, I think explain the situation to him. You know, we'll give you an opportunity to start. But, you know, there's a very good chance that you could be a backup on our team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you're about to see Josh Freeman being relegated to in the NFL, as being a journeyman backup at this point in his career. And he won't be back with the Vikings. I think you might see the Vikings keep Matt Castle on a roster. And, you know,
Christian Ponder's here. Christian Ponder's there too, though, right? Christian Ponder.
You
still
have Christian Ponder. Yeah, you still have Christian Ponder. So I think Freeman is definitely. Last year they had a turnstile at quarterback. They couldn't find anybody that could handle the position. So, and I think defensively they have a solid football team. So, and I think you take the chance here with getting a guy like Carr. And, you know, with the quarterback position, you got to keep going to get him until you get it right. And so you give him Ponder 2 years. You don't show any kind of improvement. And, you know, I personally believe that Vikings reached for Ponder when they took him. I had him at second, third-round grade, and they took him at the number 12 position in the first round. It's coming back to backfire. But with the quarterback position, you keep hitting it until you get it right. And so this is the kind of situation. Even though you took one in the first round 2 years ago, you missed. Mm-hmm. So you gotta keep going until you get it right.
Gotcha. We're having a good time. So we got about 3 minutes here. We're going to keep moving here. Let's talk about another player that the Falcons were pretty high on. And you have the one to Buffalo and Anthony Barr, defensive end from or defensive end outside linebacker from UCLA. You talk about a playmaker. I'm kind of, you know, if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, I'm extremely ecstatic about this pick. Tell us about Anthony Barr, is a player that I coveted as a Falcon player, too. So I think it's going to be a dynamic pick for them.
Yeah, which is another situation where Buffalo is going to get a player who's probably got a grade a little bit higher than, you know, he could probably be somewhere around 5 or 6 in his draft. But you're going to get him at number 9 because of the quarterbacks being taken here. And explosive pass rusher, very good athlete. You add him to an already solid defensive line, Marcel Darius, Kyle Williams, Mario Williams. And quietly, Buffalo is putting together a solid defensive ball club. And I think this would just be another piece that you add to this team. Now you can use another piece or two offensively, of course. Keeping E.J. Manuel upright and healthy. He did show some signs of possibly being a solid NFL quarterback. But the only problem you have to wonder with E.J. Manuel is injury-prone in college, rookie season in the NFL, injury-prone as well. So that's got to be a slight concern. You got to figure out a way to keep him healthy.
Gotcha. 2 minutes here. Let's talk real quick about Detroit. You have a player that people may not know a lot about, Justin Gilbert. He is the cornerback from Oklahoma State. And I guess the Lions, they made a great hire getting Jim Caldwell. I'm so excited that we get another minority head coach. Great pickup. But they need help on the defense. So this is one of those picks is what's going to do that for them, right? Correct, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. Their secondary has been hard about the last 4 years. And so they're still struggling trying to get over Justin Gilbert. Maybe a little small in size, but a tremendous athlete with great cover skills. And this could be an outstanding pick for the Lions. And offensively, you just saw with the Jim Caldwell hire and, you know, how he took over the Ravens offense last year and got them to a Super Bowl. And so you got to, figure that the talent is there offensively with Matthew Stafford, Reggie Bush, Calvin Johnson. And they just hired a Saints quarterback coach, Joe Lombardi, Vince Lombardi's grandson, who's been the quarterback coach for the Saints for Drew Brees for years. And now he's going to, you know, get a slight upgrade, moving the offensive coordinator for Detroit. And so I think offensively, I think this team will still be good. You still got to add some pieces to the puzzle to get that defense together.